Good evening and welcome to worship tonight. Tonight we will hear a reminder of inner sincerity and a call to the inner life and to close the door to the things that cause us to feel duplicitous and cause us to forget ourselves. Jesus' invitation to the inner room is a reminder to all of us to cultivate that sincerity. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to bless us tonight in worship. What is it you need to hear? What is occurring in your life? And how can the silence bless you? Amen.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Brothers and sisters, consider this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He scatters abroad, He gives to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You are being enriched in every way for all generosity, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalms 112. Blessed the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. His posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. The upright generation shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His generosity shall endure forever. Light shines through the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and merciful and just. Lavishly he gives to the poor. His generosity shall endure forever. His horn shall be exalted in glory. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said to his disciples, Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. and your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Just a simple reminder tonight about our source of security, and something we rarely talk about here at church, and that's money. Money. Honey. In our culture, the symbol of security is money, the dollar, the United States dollar. And the military assures that the United States dollar means what it says it means, that the full credit of the United States government is behind this tender. So on the scale of human beings and our interchange with what we want and need, money becomes the means by which we get it. And the thing that protects this system of money is a big military. The bigger the better, so they say. So if you think about these two powerful dynamics that are running the world, money and might, money and might are running the world, it's very evident to anyone with a brain that human beings aren't feeling very secure, that we tend to feel insecure. And this dynamic is very prevalent. So we look to other things, like status, position, money, military, winning, success, to buffet our sense of insecurity, of being vulnerable beings in a world, on a planet, that is not always predictable. So this huge system is in place, laid over upon human beings. And if you ponder it just even on a surface level, you begin to wonder, is money serving us or are we serving money? What is going on? Do I really need a United States dollar or do I need that drink of water? Do I really need the United States dollar or do I need that sandwich because I'm hungry? So we begin to confuse things very easily in our culture, taking the means for the end. And the invitation from our scripture lesson today, all three of them remind us of the inner sincerity of trusting God to be our source and what that does to a person when they live from that place of trust. Brothers and sisters, consider this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. What keeps human beings from sowing bountifully? Why do we sow so sparingly? Because we are afraid, oftentimes, that if we give too much, well, then we won't have something left for ourselves. I think it's hilarious when I think about, what if I won the lottery? And I go in my mind into a story of, well, I'd give some money to my family. But I'd only give them each this amount of money because they wouldn't know what to do with it if they inherited all that money. As if I would. And we can begin to see the hilariousness of our parsimoniousness. Because of fear and control. So Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you take God out of the picture, I love a cheerful giver. You love a cheerful giver. You love being given a gift from someone who's joyful about giving it versus someone who's holding it over your head expecting a certain result or a string attached. There's something very extraordinary about a joyful giver. What makes a joyful giver? Someone who knows they're just the go-between. Someone who has come to the awareness that they are not the source of what is being given. They are the means by which the gift is flowing. And this one step back of recognizing that whatever you may have, whatever you may give, is the opportunity for you to be the means, not the source. For me to be the means, not the source. And each of us has been given different things, different gifts that we can give joyfully. Some have more money. Some have more, you might say, time to serve. Some have a particular skill to give. Whatever it is, share it joyfully, knowing that it has been given to you as a gift. And there's no need to hold on to it from a sense of control or fear. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having what you need, you may have an abundance for everything. And this is the different mentality. You can trust in the United States dollar. You can trust in the United States military to protect that dollar and all that it represents, the systems in place. And we can trust God. For God is able to make every grace, every gift, anything available to you. Just take that in for a second. Do you believe that? That God is able to make anything available to you. This is faith. That God is able to make anything available to you. And in this moment, anything available. Maybe not $1 million for the next 10 years of your life, but in this moment, a sandwich. In this moment, a glass of water. In this moment, a new emotion. In this moment, a new idea. In this moment, a new impression. In this moment, another person. In this moment, an unexpected phone call or text or email. In this moment, a shift in the clouds. So the miracle is always in the moment, not in the future. The miracle is always happening right now. And you can store up for your future all sorts of things and have all sorts of plans as if a means of controlling the future. But the future ain't here yet. And when it is, it'll be right now. And God can do anything right now. Then the psalm teaches us something really profound. It says that blessed is the person who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in the Lord's commands. This person's posterity shall be mighty upon the earth. Wealth and riches shall be in their house. Isn't that interesting? That wealth and riches is somehow connected to this reverence or fear for the Lord. And this is an indication, again, of what is it that we're trusting in? What is our sense of security? And this goes down really deep for most people, because sometimes very wealthy people, or even just affluent people, or even just secure people, look on the outside as if everything's okay. But on the inside, they're ravaged by fear, greed, worry, meanness, irritability. On the outside, looking so put together, on the inside, falling apart. So wealth and power are very duplicitous and deceptive. And the surface of things that wealth allows to be very shiny and beautiful hides all sorts of wounds. And so the invitation at some level here is an invitation we rarely talk about here at the in this church community, is to look at, do you own or are you owned by what you own? And this amazing opportunity to find a balance, you might say, a balance between fear and control and faith and trust. And I'm not going to tell anyone how to find that balance. That's for you and God. That is totally for you and God. It doesn't even matter what you have or don't have. What matters is, how are you and God on the area of fear and control, trust and faith? Money is one little sliver by which you can take a temperature of your relationship and trust with God. And lastly, this gospel lesson, which is so famous, especially in the contemplative world, about going into your inner room. But in this reading of the gospel from Matthew, the context of the prayer and the invitation to go into your inner room and close the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, did you notice the context? It wasn't the context of super spirituality or devotional practice, or it wasn't a retreat or contemplative outreach program. It was talking about what it means to not be hypocritical, to not be a hypocrite. Interesting. Spirituality is the safest place to hide out as a hypocrite, because no one will assume, because it looks so spiritual. Spiritual practice hides all sorts of woundedness and programs for happiness that are giving you something. So, the invitation to go into your inner room is a call to inner sincerity, to be more real and authentic with yourself and in your relationship with God and others, with a deepening call to faith and trust, and especially in those tender places of survival and security issues. Do I have enough? Will things fall apart? Am I safe enough? These are human questions. And nothing's going to make our humanity go away. We're fully human. The real invitation, perhaps, is how we go about relating to these things that we need. Survival, security, power and control, affection and esteem. And this call to cleanse ourselves of the hypocritical aspect of our giving, of our serving, goes down to the heart of things, and that is, what is your motivation? What is my motivation? And that's really tricky sometimes, because it's not always one thing, because we're a multiplicity of things. But perhaps there's something in this for you tonight. I don't know. Something in this for you in terms of a discovery of what owns you. What are you trusting in? What is your faith in? And the opportunity to enter the inner room of sincerity versus the outer room of pretend. And we can pretend really, really well, especially in a community. We can get away with a lot. No one knows. No one really knows anything about us. We really don't really know each other. We really don't. No idea. I haven't been to any of your homes except Janice and David's. I really don't know anything about you. You can get away with all sorts of things, insincerely. So can I. No one's been to my apartment. You have no idea. So we talk a game. We talk a good game. But I wonder sometimes. I wonder. And it's not a way of saying, shame on us. It's just an opportunity to keep growing by being honest and sincere, real, authentic, vulnerable. We can really hide out and bypass a lot in the name of spirituality for the sake of our sense of security and control, for the sake of our money. The invitation to not be hypocrites, the invitation to give, the invitation to be a righteous person and allow God to bless. All these things come together in tonight's scripture readings for a subject that we rarely speak of. Perhaps because it's too hard to hear. I know it's hard to speak. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your presence here this evening. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us as we endeavor to trust in God as our source of security and all. Amen.